Text 110. Ernest Hemingway. There is nothing worse than war.
I believe we should get the war over, I said. It would not finish it if one side stopped fighting. It would only be worse if we stopped fighting. It could not be worse, Pacini said respectfully. There is nothing worse than war. Defeat is worse. I do not believe it, Pacini said, still respectfully. What is defeat? You go home. They come after you. They take your home. They take your sisters. I don't believe it, Pacini said. They can't do that to everybody. Let everybody defend his home. Let them keep their sisters in the house. They hang you. They come and make you be a soldier again. Not in the auto ambulance, in the infantry. They can't hang everyone. An outside nation can't make you be a soldier, Minera said. At the first battle you all run. Like the Chekhos. I think you do not know anything about being conquered, and so you think it is not bad. Tenente, Pacini said. We understand you let us talk. Listen, there is nothing as bad as war. We in the auto ambulance cannot even realize at all how bad it is. When people realize how bad it is, they cannot do anything to stop it, because they go crazy. There are some people who never realize. There are people who are afraid of their officers. It is with them the war is made. I know it is bad, but we must finish it. It doesn't finish. There is no finish to a war. Yes, there is. Pacini shook his head. War is not won by victory. What if we take San Gabriele? What if we take the Carso and Monfalcone and Trieste? Where are we then? Did you see all the far mountains today? Do you think we could take all them too? Only if the Austrians stop fighting. One side must stop fighting. Why don't we stop fighting? If they come down into Italy, they will get tired and go away. They have their own country. But no, instead there is a war. You're an orator. We think, we read. We are not peasants, we are mechanics. But even the peasants know better than to believe in a war. Everybody hates this war. There is a class that controls a country that is stupid and does not realize anything and never can. That is why we have this war. Also, they make money out of it. Most of them don't, said Pacini. They are too stupid. They do it for nothing, for stupidity. We must shut up, said Minera. We talk too much, even for the Tenente. He likes it, said Pacini. We will convert him. But now we will shut up, Minera said. Do we eat yet, Tenente? Gavuzzi asked. I will go and see, I said. Gordini stood up and went outside with me. Is there anything I can do, Tenente? Can I help in any way? He was the quietest one of the four. Come with me if you want, I said, and we'll see. It was dark outside, and the long light from the searchlights was moving over the mountains. There were big searchlights on that front, mounted on camions that you passed sometimes on the roads at night, close behind the lines. The camion stopped a little off the road, an officer directing the light and the crew scared. We crossed the brickyard and stopped at the main dressing station. There was a little shelter of green branches outside over the entrance, and in the dark, the night wind rustled the leaves dried by the sun. Inside, there was a light. The major was at the telephone sitting on a box. One of the medical captains said the attack had been put forward an hour. He offered me a glass of cognac. I looked at the board tables, the instrument shining in the light, the basins, and the stoppered bottles. Gordini stood behind me. The major got up from the telephone. I ate the end of my piece of cheese and took a swallow of wine. Through the other noise, I heard a cough. Then came the chu-chu-chu-chu. Then there was a flash, as when a blast furnace door is swung open, and a roar that started white and went red, and on in a rushing wind. I tried to breathe, but my breath would not come. And I felt myself rush bodily out of myself, and out and out and out and all the time bodily in the wind. I went out swiftly, all of myself, and I knew I was dead, and that it had all been a mistake to think you just died. Then I floated, and instead of going on, I felt myself slide back. I breathed, and I was back. The ground was torn up, and in front of my head there was a splintered beam of wood. In the jolt of my head, I heard somebody crying. I thought somebody was screaming. I tried to move, but I could not move. I heard the machine guns and rifles firing across the river and all along the river. There was a great splashing, and I saw the star shells go up and burst and float whitely, and rocks going up, and heard the bombs. All this in a moment, and then I heard close to me someone saying, "Mamma mia! Oh, mamma mia!" I pulled and twisted and got my legs loose finally, and turned around and touched him. It was Pacini, and when I touched him, he screamed. His legs were toward me, and I saw in the dark and the light that they were both smashed above the knee. One leg was gone, and the other was held by tendons and part of the trouser, and the stump twitched and jerked as though it were not connected. He bit his arm and moaned, "Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!" Then, "Dio te salve Maria! Dio te salve Maria! Oh, Jesus, shoot me! Christ, shoot me! Mamma mia, mamma mia! Oh, purest lovely Mary, shoot me! Stop it, stop it, stop it! Oh, Jesus, lovely Mary, stop it! Oh, 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 oh!" Then choking, "Mamma, mamma mia!" Then he was quiet, biting his arm, the stump of his leg twitching. "Porta feriti," I shouted, holding my hands cupped. "Porta feriti." I tried to get closer to Pacini, to try to put a tourniquet on the legs, but I could not move. I tried again, and my legs moved a little. I could pull backward along with my arms and elbows. Pacini was quiet now. I sat beside him, undid my tunic, and tried to rip the tail off my shirt. It would not rip, and I bit the edge of the cloth to start it. Then I thought of his puttees. I had on wool stockings, but Pacini wore puttees. All the drivers wore puttees, but Pacini had only one leg. I unwound the puttee, and while I was doing it, I saw there was no need to try and make a tourniquet, because he was dead already. I made sure he was dead. There were three others to locate. I sat up straight, and as I did so, something inside my head moved like the weights on a doll's eyes, and it hit me inside, in the back of my eyeballs. My legs felt warm and wet, and my shoes were wet and warm inside. I knew that I was hit, and leaned over and put my hand on my knee. My knee wasn't there. My hand went in, and my knee was down on my shin. I wiped my hand on my shirt, and another floating light came very slowly down, and I looked at my leg and was very afraid. "Oh, God," I said, "get me out of here." I knew, however, that there had been three others. There were four drivers. Pacini was dead. That left three. Someone took hold of me under the arms, and somebody else lifted my legs.